Okay. So I was riding around on Monday, and this was kind of coming to me as I was riding around, and I'm just going to be sharing about the. If you were to give it a title, it would just be just us stewarding the truth in relationship. And I think too, when I say truth, I want to also incorporate the word knowledge with truth, you know. Because whatever you want to call it, truth or knowledge, it's not, I'll just call it truth, because that makes sense to me right now with what I'm wanting to say, is we don't have knowledge of it until it's revealed to us, right? So the progression of truth would be revelation, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And this is what I learned when I was learning how to fly. You're in this ground school and you're learning the principles of flight. So I come into the school, I have no knowledge of flying whatsoever. So I go to this ground school and I'm reading a book, and instructor, he's telling me about the airfoil that goes across over the top of the wing and the pressure differential that's below and above the wing, and that's how the lift works. And so I'm learning, I'm gaining knowledge of how to fly. So then I start reading more, studying more. Now I can understand how the air flows over the wing and how the lift works and why you do this on the yoke and the flight controls and how they move and stuff like that. Then wisdom is the application of it. Now I get in the airplane and I start to fly. Okay? So that's how it was presented, or that's how I learned that progression of us learning something is first, in this case, in the realm of the spirit, a mystery of something, God will reveal it to you, all right? Because beforehand, we had no knowledge of it. God speaks it, and God reveals it to us somehow, a dream, vision, whatever, however it comes, we see something in the scripture that we've never seen before. So it begins to come to us. So then, ultimately, understanding will come. And this, the side note is, you know, this is why we walk by faith, right? And as we walk, understanding comes, right? So as we're walking by faith in that thing that God has spoken to us about, understanding begins to come because we're walking by faith. And then as understanding begins to come, at some point, we will begin to have wisdom in how to apply that to our life or into other people's lives or whatever that might look like, okay? So that's kind of the progression of just truth for me and how it works. So as I was riding around on Monday, I was just kind of, a lot of this is probably not things I haven't said before, but I think it's just kind of a reminder as God is continuing to knit our hearts together. And so there's two realms of truth, one being the truth that God has given us concerning Him and the things of the kingdom. Okay, so then how are we using that as far as just praying into it, meditating on it, seeking it out, growing in it? You know, it's the verse I like to give in Leviticus where it says that manna was like coriander seed and they ground it up and made cakes with it. All right, so it's us learning how to do whatever with the revelation, right? We're learning how to work the revelation in our life. So I'm not so much going to focus on that one a whole lot. It's more person to person. And I want us to understand, if everything else I say from this point forward, the one thing that I want you to walk away from tonight is for you and I to understand the weight and the responsibility of what it means to steward the knowledge of each other. Okay? Because as we grow in intimacy, we need to understand the responsibility and the maturity that it takes to steward that knowledge. And with that, as we learn how to do that, you know, it's what I said a week ago about, you know, that one of the cries of my heart is for us to be one. And for us to be one means that you and I are going to have to know the same relationship that Jesus and the Father knew. You and I are going to have that same relationship. And I don't know that any one of us have ever really encountered that kind of relationship. If we have, praise God that you did, you got a glimpse or whatever. But the bottom line is for us to be one, the ecclesia that we're wanting to be one, moving in the Spirit, is that you and I together are going to have to know each other as the Father knew the Son, as the Son knew the Father. That's the picture, and that's how it's going to work. So I'm just going to go through some just scriptures, just kind of things that we see happening relationally, not only with us, but just people in and around our life, just everyday relationships with people, right? And just our interaction with people. And then just learning how to discern, learning how to avoid that place in the flesh that we're used to standing in concerning a relationship, right? So for whatever reason, I remembered tonight, because I've been wondering, I've wondered a couple times, I consider myself to be a consummate optimist, all right? It's like I'm always looking for the positive. I'm always looking for the good. I'm always looking for, basically what I can be grateful. And tonight I remember when I was little, I used to get in trouble all the time because I would complain about everything. And my dad was constantly on me. All you ever do is gripe and complain, you ain't happy with nothing and all this stuff. And so I think whatever that dynamic was and him confronting that in me, shifted me into a place of what I would consider to be a true kingdom mindset, because if the kingdom that we're in is growing and expanding, there's nothing but optimism in that, right? So all right, so I'm just going to focus on us for a moment. So it's the one scripture that in John 16, it says that Jesus said, I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it right now. Okay, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and reveal all truth to you. So this is the risk of what can happen with that verse. As we grow, this is why we need each other. Because as we grow, inevitably there's going to be people around us that don't have the same blind spot that we do. They're not in the same place of deception that we are. So they can see, they can help us to see what it is that we need to see. But the risk in that sometimes is that, and let me say this, do you believe that your words have power? Do you believe that words create?
Yes.
All right. So with your words, what are you housing with your words? Because in your words are filled with something. Is it of darkness or is it of light and of God? Basically, are your words creating a house for the Spirit to God, for the Spirit of God to come in? Or are your words creating a place for a demonic spirit to move in and out of? Okay? So this is one thing that I learned when I was in the bookstore, constantly interacting with people. So we know scripturally that the heart is revealed from out of the mouth, right? So whenever we're speaking, we're revealing our heart. And anyone with discernment can listen to our words and realize what's resonating in those words. Whether it's frustration, whether it's shame, whether it's fear, whatever it is, we can't hide from our words. As much as we like to think we are, we cannot hide from what's resonating in our words. When we speak, everything that is going on in me is resonating in that word. It's like I don't get to pick and choose what part of me is going to go in this word. It's like when I speak, everything in me is in that word, right? So So what we need to be aware of is when we're moving in and out of this place of the flesh, because the flesh is going to only be critical and judgmental, right? Instead of, in 1 Corinthians 8, I think it's 8 verse 1, it says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So, and I want to challenge you all, is is to begin to listen to the words that you're speaking and begin to dialogue with the Father or Holy Spirit about, why did I just say it that way? Why did I just say what I just said? Where did those words come from? You know, to get to know yourself even more so in the words that we're speaking, right? So if we're, and see the problem, well, the risk again is with this place of intimacy that we're talking about, the greatest damage can come, right? I could care less who's out there and what they say about me. But if someone that I consider my heart to be connected with says something, that hits a deep place, right? So we need to be aware of when we're acting with, I'll just say those people that we're in covenant with, right? Which is the people that we fellowship with in the Spirit, okay? So those people that we're in covenant with in the Spirit, those are the ones, it's like, you know, for us to begin to censor, you know, to be aware of the words that I'm about to speak, is that coming from a place of flesh, of criticizing or judgmental, or is it coming from a place of love and edification, exhortation, right? Because that, for me, that is, you know, my hope is that every time I do speak is for that simple purpose, is to edify, encourage, or exhort, right? And that if I'm speaking out of frustration, or anger is frustration, you know, if I'm speaking out of that place, or if I'm speaking, you know, just being critical or judgmental, it's like that's simply the flesh. You know, I'm in a place of the flesh right now, and just learning how to come back into the Spirit and do what I need to do with those words. So the thing is, let's say there's somebody that we're, you know, we have a heart for, and, you know, we see a blind spot. We see something that they're having to overcome. It's just part of their process and their journey. Well, they may not even be overcoming it yet, because they may not even be aware of it yet, right? So, but you and I might see it, you know, we might see it perfectly clear, but what could happen is, that scripture in John 16 that I said, Jesus said, I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it. All right? So literally, there are things that we could say to each other that we're not ready to bear or hear. And we need to discern what is this person able to hear right now? You know, I want them to hear me. My heart is to love them. My heart is to affirm them and encourage them. But if I say this, I don't know that they're going to hear me. And then that risks the possibility of them getting offended and angry at me and completely shutting me out. When my whole intention, hopefully, was to love them, to help them. But the thing is, this is what I've learned. Because for me, it's like what happens with us with God. If you want to know a mystery, go knock on the door and ask Him. Right? If somebody's not looking for help, I'm not here to help. Right? If there that proverbial yes that we keep talking about, if there's not a yes there, and if they're not seeking that, there is nothing for me to say. I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm not their Lord and Savior. I didn't die for them. I love them, and I'm a friend. I want to be their friend, and I want to edify and encourage them. But if they're not asking for help for certain things, or certain things that I was like, I would really like to help that person with that. Well, they're either one, they're not seeing it yet, or two, they're still denying it, or three, they could be overcoming it, but they're just not able to receive from you. Whatever it is. But it's for you and I to be able to discern, you know, what can this person hear from me right now? You know? And if for no other reason, we've said this time and time again, if for no other reason, whatever it is that I'm discerning, I now know how to pray. And if you really have a heart for that person, you will begin to know how to intercede more effectively and hit the mark for them. Right? Instead of doing, you know, the gossiping, critical prayers or judgmental prayers or whatever, it's like, you know, Father, I just lift this person up to you right now and ask for that place to be revealed to them, Father, for them to see the truth. So here's what happens. When somebody comes to us with truth and we're still, that unable to bear it thing is me being held prisoner or captive in a mindset. Okay? So I'm in a cage right now. I'm locked up in a cage. Somebody speaks truth and that cage is getting rattled. Truth is beating on that cage. And because I'm still in agreement with being in the cage, I'm going to get mad. Right? I don't like what you're saying right now. I'm not ready to come out of this cage yet. I don't even know that I'm in a cage right now. I think you're jacked up. You know? So this is where we need to really discern and ask the Holy Spirit to give us that, surgical-like precision with our words. You know, that He can give us that word that will cut straight to the heart without setting off a nuclear bomb in somebody's heart. You know? Because that is so easy to do when somebody is still breaking agreement with something or hasn't even begun to do that yet. There's not, if they haven't even begun to break agreement with it yet, there's really nothing to say to them yet. Right? It's just to pray for them. Father, I just pray for them, for that place to be revealed to them, that they'll begin to see what they need to see. And then hopefully they'll be like, hey, will you pray with me about this? I would love to. Because now they're wanting the truth, right? They're beginning to break agreement with that thing. So again, we risk the chance of, if we speak a truth that someone is not able to bear yet, we risk the chance of hurting them. And our intention wasn't, right? I mean, if we're really speaking it out of love, our intention was not to hurt the person, but if they're not ready to hear that, they're not going to be able to receive it. And if they're really immature, they're going to get angry and just stay bitter about it and completely put the hand up to you because they think you're not safe and you're whatever, and even though you were just trying to share the truth with them, okay? So let's talk about love covers a multitude of sins, all right? So love covers. If something is covered, you don't see it, right? If something is being covered, you don't see it, so why are we talking about it? Why are we criticizing it? Why are we judging it? What should be covered by love, right? So what is sin? Sin is, for me, sin is nothing. Sin is just simply a place of separation from God. Okay? Sin is me eating my cookies in depression. When I was eating that cookie out of depression, I was sinning. I was in a place of sin. Okay? If I'm being compelled in the natural by a, if you, you know, I've done this before. If you go, you know, make yourself a list. Well, really, the list is in Galatians. And if it's not one of the fruits of His Spirit that you're being compelled by, that you're manifesting, then you need to question why it is you're producing that other emotion that's not in that list of the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, that's a pretty clear list for us to live by. Because that's the fruit that a manifested son is going to release and manifest, you know, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, you know. So if it's depression or shame or fear, you know, I've got to turn the light on in every room of the house because I'm just afraid of the dark. I'm sorry, but we're in sin, right? Let's just understand what sin is. Sin is nothing more than a place of separation from God. And now I'm acting, I'm being compelled by it to do something, right? I could be struggling in here to overcome it, but now I'm letting it out here in the natural establish patterns and habits in my life and words, right? It's one thing to overcome it, be fighting it and overcoming it on the inside, but when I start speaking words of fear and I start doing things out of fear, all I'm doing is making that thing stronger. Okay? So again, if we're one of the ones in someone's life that sees something, we need to learn how to cover it. We need to learn how to cover it for them. Either, you know, even so in our relationship or in my relationship with that person is learning how to cover that sin with God's love. Because the thing that still blows my mind with God is the times that he's come to me, and it's the psalm that says, as far as the east is from the west, so is his remembrance or his memory of your sin. So when he comes to you and I, like I said tonight, who he sees when he comes to you is who you were in the beginning. That's who he sees. He's not here to talk to you about sin. He's not here to talk to you about sin. He's here to talk to you, Father to Son, I love you. This is what I have for you. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm asking of you. Whatever that might be about, but it's not to come and give you the smackdown that we're used to, right? And how that's been perverted in the earth by our own fathers, misrepresenting the Heavenly Father in our life. So again, we just need to ask Holy Spirit to help us cover. Love covers all sins. So in that covering, again, that sin is not there. If love is covering, it's not being seen. If love is covering it, there's nothing. For one, this place of being critical and judgmental is just the flesh, right? You know, if we're being critical of someone, or if we're judging them or being critical, then I'm in the flesh and I need to get back in the spirit. It's that simple for us to just discern when we're doing that, you know? So the other thing, so going back to the, you know, truth, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. So wisdom is us learning how to apply it. So when the thing that I was beginning to see as I was looking through some of the scriptures is there in James when it's talking about us to seek or desire heavenly wisdom, because the first thing it says about that is that it's peaceable. Let's flip over there. It's James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what you and I are doing, if we have heavenly wisdom, we're actually, through that heavenly wisdom, we're actually revealing the kindness of God to help that person, lead them back to repentance, so that they, it just says, heavenly wisdom is sown in peace and the fruit is righteousness. You and I, with heavenly wisdom, are actually helping that person through the gentleness and kindness of that wisdom, we're helping that person to turn to repent and so that peace can be established. Because we're dealing with a place, right, that where Christ is not yet. We're trying to help them see that place, right? So that heavenly wisdom is coming, and it's the I think it's Romans 2:4 where it says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. So if we're truly moving in heavenly wisdom, then that gentleness and the kindness is going to come through in that, and the love, and that person's going to be able to turn and repent, and peace can be established in that place, in them. Okay? So in Matthew 5, it talks about, now this is probably more for just when we're interacting with people, talking about the things of the kingdom or whatever, but it says that you are the salt of the earth, right? Not one of you in this room dumps the whole container on your plate of salt jar, right? Right? If you did, it was by accident. And most people in this room, if you were to weigh out the salt of your preferred salting desire, you know, Virginia might like 0.05 grams of salt, and that is the perfect seasoned meal for her, right? Todd might like a whole gram of salt, on his plate. We all have a different flavor, right? So the point in this is that when we're talking with someone about the things of God, why would we want to dump the whole container on them? Right? So it's you and I learning how to season our words, learning how to season our conversation so it is savory and it is good and it is something that this person is eating up. Right? And it's a good, pleasing word. The whole Bible talks about how good word, a good morsel, how good words are, that give life. So it's you and I recognizing, because I've seen it time and time again, even in my own life, out of zeal. It's like I just dump the whole thing on it and just out of zeal. I'm excited. I love God, and I'm going to give you everything right now, But it's learning how to go, oh, that's just right there. I think you're going to like that, So it's just learning how to season those conversations with the words that we're discerning. See, this is, again, when I was in the bookstore constantly having people coming in, the Holy Spirit taught me how to discern where people are at, and I'd be like, I've been looking at this book, and I think this book is right where you're at, and I think it'll be awesome. So I was able, time and time again, to like, I think this book's where you're at. I think that CD's a good one for you right now. So it's like the Lord just gave me the ability to discern where people are at, to help them, to give them that little nugget, to feed that hunger that was in there. Because that, to me, that's the whole purpose, is I'm going to discern where someone's at, that hunger and thirst that's in them, and then hopefully Holy Spirit's going to stir something in me, and I'm going to give them a little piece of something to satisfy that hunger a little bit and to, help them to go a little further or whatever. So this is where I'm going to bring in the next scripture. Cast not your pearls before swine. Okay? Consider this. Some of you have fasted and prayed and contended for a pearl. Right? Why would you want to give that to just anybody? When what you've poured in of yourself, of your time and of your life, for God to reveal this to you and how valuable and precious that pearl is, why would you willingly offer that up to anybody? How precious is that to you? Right? Because it only takes one time for you to not do it again. For you to offer a pearl to someone, it gets trampled on, and then they get offended at you because they weren't ready to hear that. Right? They weren't ready to bear that yet. So then you're a whack job, you're a heretic, you're deceived, you're whatever, and here comes the judgments. Right? So most of you have heard this story. So this pastor that I got to go meet and basically got into a spiritual fight with, I was there. The moment we stood, it was like this religious spirit was right here the whole time I was in the conversation. He's like, what do you do? All things restored, manifesting sons, blah, blah, blah. And talking scripture. And then finally, that thing was getting so combative. I was like, the Lord basically, I'm going to manifest as a son so that all things can be restored. And then, oh yeah, you don't have to die. I just threw that one in there for free. A little slap that spirit right in the side of the head. But when I left, I felt the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Because I knew I did it. I knew I wasn't in a place of humility and love for Him. I knew what was going on in the realm of the Spirit, and I wasn't focused on loving Him. I was focused on beating that spirit up. And so I left feeling the grieving of the Holy Spirit. So I went home. I found the guy on Facebook. I private messaged him and said, hey, look. He ended up calling me a heretic. So I set him up to judge me. Right? That was my fault. I didn't need to say that to him. And I shouldn't have said it to him. Because all it did was cause him to judge me and what God is doing. You know, this is that thing, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Right? Because I know when people come here and they hear stuff, they hear whatever we're talking about, I know in my heart what is true and what God is doing. And when somebody comes here and starts judging us as being deceived, they're off base or whatever, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing and they don't know what they're saying right now. You know? And that's why we have to be careful with what we're saying to people. So anyways, I get home, I type the message up to the guy, and I said, hey, look, because he was like, I wasn't ready to have a theological debate about why you don't have to die. I had already been believing it for a while, but I hadn't taken the time to look at it in Scripture yet. I knew it was true, and I just hadn't taken the time to come up with a good theological answer for someone. So I went home, I found him a Scripture, John 8, bam, there's your Scripture. But beyond that, I just want to say I bless you in what God is doing with you in our city. But you know what? Unfortunately, I just got word, I think it was sometime last year, that he's no longer at the church and he stopped preaching. He stopped ministering. You know, I don't know for what reason, but I just know that God had me give him a message to, you know, accept my responsibility in it. So with that said, you and I, and this is not a prideful statement when I say this, but this is a statement of understanding what it is that you and I are walking in and carrying. And there's a responsibility that's needed with it. And the truth is, if we're walking with a fuller measure of truth, then we have a greater responsibility to love with that truth. Right? So with that measure of truth needs to come a measure of love, so that that truth can be used to edify and not, oh, look at me and what I know or what I'm experiencing, or being judgmental like, you guys don't know jack squat about the kingdom, y'all ain't got nothing. You know, whatever that might look like in our life. So for me, the responsibility is again on us, because, you know, the measure of truth and understanding that we're walking in, we need to have, I would say, an even greater measure of love to carry it correctly and to steward it correctly, you know? Because we're going to have those moments where we're going to be popping in and out of the flesh, and people are getting hurt, people are getting wounded, because we're still immature with it, you know? So that was kind of the gist of it, is for you and I to recognize the, even more so just here in this body of people, is for you and I to realize the responsibility and the maturity of stewarding the knowledge of each other in our relationships, right? Because, you know, we're little by little, we're feeling safer, we're trusting each other more, and, you know, it only takes that one moment for a word to be spoken and the knife just got put in, you know? And so we just need to be asking the Holy Spirit just for discernment and helping us learn how to just love each other, to interact with each other as Christ would have us to interact with each other, and that we'll just continue to grow in our relationship just as, so that we can ultimately come into that place that Jesus, that same relationship of how Jesus knew the Father, that you and I will know that relationship with each other, and that we will have that kind of union and a relationship that we can walk in, live in, and enjoy, you know? Because again, I think very few of us have probably ever tasted that relationship that's there for us to experience, right? For numerous reasons. So again, I just challenge you to begin to listen to the words that you're speaking, and to begin to listen to the words that you're speaking about your life, that you're speaking about your family, that you're speaking about your spouse, that you're speaking about your friend, you're speaking about your job, you're speaking about whatever. Listen to the words that you're speaking, because you're either framing up God's word for you, or you're framing up something of darkness, right? So if you and I really believe that our words carry weight and our words have power, then why do we say some of the things that we say? You know, I know we have those little fleshly moments where it's like, oh, Lord, I wish I could take that whole paragraph back. You know, and we can. We just put it under the blood. But we need to realize our words carry weight and our words are energizing something in the realm of the Spirit. Our words are coming into agreement with God our Father and housing up something that can house His Spirit, or our words are energizing a demonic spirit to move out in and out of this thing that we keep framing up with our words. You know? So it's just, so going back to the, for me, you know, as I started being a consummate optimist, you know, I'm constantly looking at, you know, because I want to, I believe, you know, a key in this is if we have a grateful, thankful heart, it's going to be so much easier for us to see the gold in each other. But if we're in a place of bitterness and frustrated with this or that, and we've gotten into the cycle of complaining and, you know, just negativity and just can't see anything good, that's only going to get directed at each other, you know? And usually it's not a convenient time when that happens, right? And I know, the thing is, none of us probably would, I don't believe any of us would consciously do any of that on purpose, right? None of us would purposefully try to hurt each other, right? But in that one moment, I mean, it's actually surprising and a bit alarming when emotions are on the surface and everything's like, whoa, how quickly the enemy can slip in and say something. And it's like, oh, and it happened like that. And it's like, well, Lord, I just repent and Father, I'm sorry. And, you know. But sometimes somebody may not be mature enough to handle that, you know? So again, I want us to really consider, you know, just the magnitude and the responsibility of what we're pressing into and what that, you know, really, I guess, what we're asking for even more so, you know, as a community and as a body, you know, because as we're asking for this oneness together, as we're asking for this, this place of unity in the Spirit, then, you know, we need to understand the responsibility of how to steward that correctly, so that we're, you know, there's grace and mercy for each of us in our process for where we're at, and hopefully we're just going to get more consistent and even, without even trying, just revealing God's love, you know? For sometimes it's like we literally have to think about trying to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because like I shared before, I was conditioned to respond in anger. Both my mom and dad have anger stuff. So I was conditioned to respond in anger. So I've had to learn how to recognize how, well, first of all, that's not a healthy response. It's not a normal response, and it's not a good response. So it's, you know, learning how to respond in love, respond in patience, respond in kindness, respond with gentleness, right? And so, you know, that's just one of the patterns that I've had to identify and that I've had to pray about, that I've had to press into, of learning how to respond as God would have me to respond in a healthy way, you know? And again, for me, the list is right there in Galatians. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm not manifesting right now one of those fruits, then I need to go pray and find out why. Because there's still something going on that I'm either still in agreement with something, or I'm not seeing something, or I need to, there's just some pattern or behavior I haven't broken through yet. I haven't established a new way yet. I haven't established a new behavior or pattern yet, right? So if I just, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, it's like, okay, there's my list. There's my list to live by. So what am I manifesting right now? It's not on that list. Oh. And it is that simple, but then it's just us learning how to catch ourselves. And it's like, Lord, by faith right now, I see that for what it is now. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me establish a new pattern. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me to discern in those moments when that pattern or behavior is being triggered in this response, in this relationship. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me to identify that so I can begin to establish the fruit of the Spirit way. You know, how to respond with the fruit of the Spirit and how to stay in that place and, you know, and just learn a healthy way, a more Christ-like way of interacting with whoever it is that we're interacting with. So one last thing I want to close with. So the pattern of this is, so one, we need to have a desire for truth, okay? That's why we keep a yes in our heart, is because we're saying yes to the Lord, which is, if we say yes to Him, then we're saying yes to truth, all right? So when truth comes into a place of darkness, which is the light, to reveal what is in darkness, right? Which is why I'm angry, which is why I'm depressed, which is why I'm ashamed, which is why I'm whatever, right? So truth comes and confronts the cage that I'm in, right? I'm being held captive in this cage by this emotion, by this mindset, right? So truth comes, the key opens up the cage, I come out, now justice and judgment can come, now righteousness can come into that place, and now, which is justice and righteousness are the, what? Foundation of His throne, right? So that's the pattern that I see, not only for us, but also what's happening in the earth right now, is truth comes, what's in darkness gets judged, justice and judgment happens, now righteousness can be established, now His throne can be set up. Okay? Huh? So light or truth comes, it exposes a place of darkness. This is what's happening in you and I. This is what's been happening in us for the last 5 years. Okay? This is another way of saying Christ coming forth in me. Christ being fully formed in me. A place of darkness gets exposed to truth. Truth or light come and expose a place of darkness. That place gets judged, and we do it in multiple ways. You know, that judgment and justice we know can happen in the courts. It can happen by repentance. It can happen by applying the blood. We can do it in several ways. But the point is, that place is being judged and being judged. Justice is coming forth. Now righteousness can come and be established in that place. Right? Which, for me, another part is there at the end of Hebrews where it talks about the word of righteousness training our senses so that we can discern both good and evil. Not good from evil. But we receive the word of righteousness so that we can discern both good and evil so that we're not partaking of that tree. So that we can completely eat from the tree of life. Okay? So that's the gist of it. It's just for us to really, you know, just to understand more and more the responsibility of what it means to steward the knowledge of each other. Right? It's a great responsibility, and it takes maturity for us to do that so that we're not hurting each other, wounding each other, but we're all growing together, right? We're all in a place where we can grow together. We're sharing, we're giving, we're receiving, whatever. But we understand, you know, we're not gossiping or slandering or being critical or judgmental, but we're properly stewarding our relationships with each other and the knowledge of each other that we've been given. Right? Because I'm sure most of you in here have secrets that I do not know, and I'm not asking for them. But I'm just saying, If you were to share that secret with me, you've just given me a fuller knowledge of you, right? You've given me a bigger piece of who you are. So now I need to be even more cautious, right? I need to be even more discerning in how I interact or what I say, because now this person has entrusted me with more of themselves, right? And again, I'm not asking for none of y'all's secrets, so don't be coming up. We ain't doing no confessional tonight. I don't want to know nothing. Oh, but I want to read this word again, because I read it last week. But this is this exactly what I shared: truth, justice, and righteousness. This is what I see happening in the earth, because of all the truth that is coming out right now. There's truth that's coming out about the food, about the medicines, the pharmacy, the government. I mean, there's the pedophile stuff, the human trafficking, all the stuff is coming out, all right? So, this is kind of how I've begun to see the pattern of God's throne being set up. It's like he is shaking, and I brought in some of the reasons why, and it was in that post that I put on ATR's Facebook page. But anyways, so truth is being revealed. So now we need to pray that justice will be done according to God's will and not perverted. That there will no longer be a perversion of justice. So that once that justice can be done, now righteousness can be established. And as righteousness is established, his throne is being set up. And this is what he said to me last week in worship. He said, I'm using the things in the natural, which is all this. For me, I knew he was talking about what I knew, the things that I knew that were going on. When he said that to me, I knew that he was prefacing or referring to what I know that's going on in the natural from my grid. I'm using the things in the natural for my glory to bring forth an awakening that will last for generations. So all I can say is, based on some of the other things that have brought me to where I'm at right now, I would say we have another 16 months, no, 18 months. Basically, somewhere around the summer of 19, of more shaking, of things being revealed, okay? And then hopefully in the midst of that, my prayer has begun to be for justice to be done, for justice and judgment to be rendered on behalf of whatever needs to be judged, for justice to come forth. And then ultimately, righteousness will begin to be set up and established. So what I want to close tonight, and for those of you that have a heart for this, I just want to encourage you to not really specifically call anybody by name. I could give you a lot of names. But I want, if this is in your heart, I'm asking of you, when you think about it, to pray for the whistleblowers that are coming forth. There's men and women that see the injustices that are going on. Some of them are being killed. Some of them are being quieted in multiple ways. So I want us to agree and pray for the whistleblowers, the men and women that are in all facets of society that see the injustices that are going on, and that they will get the strategy from heaven of how to come forward to release the truth, and then justice can come so that righteousness can be established. Okay? Because that... Just to give you an example, Edward Snowden released what the NSA was doing to the American population. He's been labeled a traitor. He leaked it to the press to let the people know this is what's happening and we need to talk to the government about what's happening, right? Another guy named Dennis Montgomery, he took 46 or 7 hard drives from the CIA and he tried to go the legal way. He went through the court system to be protected as a whistleblower and to present the evidence, and we ain't heard nothing of any of that. Okay? So we just need to, I just want, for those of you that have a heart for this, I'm just asking for us to be in agreement for the people that are in the midst of, because there's good people in every part of, there's good people in, there's good doctors, you know? There's good people in every part of society. But there's things that the public, the people need to be made aware of, and the government needs to right. Right? The government needs to correct. Injustices need to be dealt with. And so it's not, I don't even know, because again, my prayer for the last 2 years has been, Father, I pray for truth to be revealed in all things. That's been my simple prayer. Sometimes I get caught up in the details. If I know something about a specific story, I might pray specifically about things. But I've just been keeping it in a simple and just in a simplistic way of just petitioning heaven for truth to be revealed. And I believe that's what we're seeing, because it's time. And so again, I'm just asking for those of you that have a heart, just as you think about it, just pray for the women, the men and women that are aware of these things, and for heaven to get, for the strategy of heaven to come to them, and for God to send the angel armies to surround them and protect them and to watch over them. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to pray. So, Father, I just thank you, Father. Before I pray, I want to do this. What I was seeing tonight, this is a picture of the ecclesia. What I was seeing tonight is an ecclesia is a group of people that have been called out of the population. All right? A picture of that could be like our Congress or our Senate. All right? But imagine it in a circle. And every one of you has a seat to sit in, a governmental seat. Because this group of people that's been called out has a governmental mandate. If you are part of as we press into this ecclesia, this is what I saw tonight. Every one of you has a seat in this circle. And every one of you has the power to mandate the government of heaven into the earth. And around this circle, in the center of this circle, was his throne set up. And around this circle, you and I were seated. And he was there in our midst, enthroned. Okay? So I just want to encourage you to take your seat. To take your seat and to begin to mandate, administrate, legislate the government of heaven that God wants you to. Because that's who you and I are. And this is where we're at in the earth today. Okay? If God wants us to go out and save souls and heal the sick and do all that stuff, then I trust he's going to send us to go and do that. But I believe he's given us a mandate for governmental things in the sense of or agreeing with what he's wanting to do and is doing in the earth. You know? So again, I encourage you to take your seat in the assembly. Because in that place, you've been given authority and power and dominion as a son to legislate, to adjudicate, to administrate the things of the kingdom into the earth. And we are in a huge place in history, in the realm of the spirit, pertaining to the earth and everything that is going on. And I am going to be a part of it. And I'm encouraging you to be a part of it and to sit in your seat and to ask the Father, what does that look like for me? You know? What is my assignment, Father? What would you have me do? I just encourage you to ask him that. So, Father, I just thank you again for all that you're doing. And I thank you, Father, and I ask for understanding, Father, pertaining to what a true ecclesia looks like. Father, for what a true ecclesia, how a true ecclesia functions. And Father, each member of that assembly, Father, sitting in their seat of government, and Father, doing the things that you've mandated them to do as a son in the earth. And so, Father, I just thank you, Father, for each person that is connected to All Things Restored. And Father, for us to understand the responsibility and the weight of stewarding our relationship with each other. And Father, for us to fully know, to know even more so, Father, how to edify, how to encourage, how to exhort. Father, how to pray for each other. Father, how to interact with each other. And Father, I just thank you Just for the knowledge, the understanding, Father, for the discernment, Father. I ask for discernment for all of us, Father, for a mature gift of discernment to operate in this assembly and ecclesia. And so I just thank you, Father, for discernment. And so, Father, I do lift up the whistleblowers tonight, Father, to you. Father, the men and women, Father, that are in all facets, in all places, Father, of society. Father, that know and have understanding and evidence of the injustices and the things that are going on, Father, that need to be prosecuted, that need to be litigated, that need to be the people aware of. And so, Father, I just lift these people up to you tonight, Father, and just plead the blood of Yeshua over them, Father, and their families. And Father, I ask for the angels, Father, the angels that you've assigned to them. We come in agreement, Father, with those angels now, Father, as you've sent them to come in and around their life, Father, to watch over them and keep them. And Father, that as we progress, Father, from truth to justice, Father, I pray that justice will be exacted according to your word and perfect will, and that no justice will be perverted, Father. And that the very thing that needs to happen according to the laws of this land, Father, that the laws will be held up and that justice will be done according to your word and perfect will, Father. Father, so that righteousness can be established in the earth. And so we just thank you, Father, for where this is going and for where things are heading. And I just ask, Father, again, Father, just for us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, to know how to intercede, to know what to legislate, Father, just to know how to agree with heaven, Father, so that we can just co-labor with you, Father, and be a part of what you're doing in the earth today in our day. And so I thank you for all that you're doing. And again, Father, just for all that's happening. And I thank you, Father, for everything being shaken that can be shaken. And the only thing that will remain is the things of heaven. And so I just give you praise and glory and honor, Father, and just bless you and just thank you, Father, in your name.